Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues the series, Living During the Tribulation. The Christians are excited as they have been sealed against the coming trumpet judgments. The World Federation at this time is in great shape. The economy is booming, destroyed cities have been rebuilt, and people have enough money to live lavishly and embrace debauchery. When the opening salvo strikes, it catches everyone by surprise. This is followed by catastrophic fires, oceans of blood, contaminated rivers and lakes, partial darkness, a devastating war that kills one-third of humanity, and the release of creatures from the bottomless pit whose sole purpose is to hurt mankind. Meanwhile, the Christians in the wilderness areas watch the destruction caused by God and eagerly wait for the second coming of Jesus. This message is entitled, Hell from Above. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And I'm going to be speaking today about hell from above. I'm going to have you turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 8. And we're going to move in time today. We're going to move about maybe 50, 60 years down into the future. And the World Federation now has been there for some 20 years. We are not some 20 years into the Great Tribulation period. And as a matter of fact, the first 20 years was pretty good for the people who have taken the mark of the beast or they've taken a microchip. Now, the Christians living in the wilderness areas are excited. And yet they have been sealed by holy angels, and they now know that judgment is coming on the Antichrist system. In Revelation 8, 1 through 2, we read this. And when he opened the seventh seal, there was a sign in heaven about a space of half an hour, and I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. The Christians had read the book of Revelation. They believed it. They knew that something was going to happen. But it's been about 20 years into the time of the Antichrist system. So this all took place one day in Jerusalem. And it was a normal morning where the supreme leader, the pastor, and his staff was meeting at a breakfast meeting. And they were sitting around the table and just simply having a good time eating the stuff and so on, and planning on, you know, they're talking about, you know, the economy is absolutely fantastic. We got no unemployment right now. Everybody's working. We've been able to rebuild the cities that were destroyed by wars. We have production, food production is up. Everything is just rosy, rosy. And the supreme leader was gloating. And the pastor was smiling. And they were simply saying to the people, you know, we told you good times are coming. And then suddenly, the building began to shake. All the stuff on the tables begin to fall on the floor. Everything is panic. And they understand there's an earthquake that is rolling right now through the town. And they're realizing now, we got problems. In Revelation 8, 3 through 5, we read this. Another angel came and stood the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given to him much incense. They should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon a golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth, and there were voices, thunderings, lightnings, and earthquakes. And the seven angels with the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Now, as this earthquake had taken place, just like we had in Beirut this last week, they called for damage reports, and they want to find out, you know, how much damage do they have. And suddenly, the joy had disappeared. Now, the Christians, they were happy because nothing can happen to them. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 9, "For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. As the supreme leader and the pastor, they was scanning the shots from the satellites, they realized this, that the areas where the Christians were living were untouched. And so global television shows the aftermath, and the pastor speaks at a press conference to reinforce the previous warning from outer space. He's simply saying now, we have to begin to prepare for an invasion from outer space. According to the World Federation, this is the precursor of the imminent invasion we're going to have from heaven. Or from outer space. If we turn to Revelation 8:8, "And the second angel sounded, and as it was a great mountain burning with fire was cast in the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood." As this was taking place, let me look at some scriptures here from Exodus 8:22. And we read this. "And I will sever in that day the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth." The Christians have read that, and they simply said, this is how God did it when he took the people out of Egypt. He's going to do it again. And then they looked at chapter 9, verse number 4, where it says, "And the Lord shall sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt, and there shall nothing die of all as the children of Israel." And then we turn to verse number 26 of the same chapter. "Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, was there no hail." Then we turn to chapter 10, and we look at verses 22 and 23. "And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven. There was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings." The Christians were excited because they said now, this is what God did for the Israelites. He's going to do the same thing for us. And he will. And so, you and I are not, we are moving closer to the time of the tribulation. We don't know when it's going to happen. But what we've got to understand is this. God will take care of us. Do you understand now why Satan is working so hard to destroy the Bible? Because he doesn't want you to have faith. It's looked over the COVID-19. I realize it's a reality. We got a virus. But I have simply been walking now, simply saying this, in the name of Jesus, I am not going to receive that. If there's a virus trying to attack me, it will die on contact because I am the property of God. This is just a little warm-up right now what's going to come in a tribulation. And so we can either walk in fear or we can walk in confidence that my God is stronger than anything. I believe that the virus is not what not it was made in China. It's a biological weapon, but I believe also it's a judgment. Because if you look upon the world right now, there is absolutely destruction of our economy worldwide. And it's not getting better. And you notice this when they begin to open up, people begin, where do they go? To the bars, to casinos, drinking, partying. Instead of going to the church and seeking God, they want to seek Bacchus, the god of alcohol. So what happened? They had to close the bars down because they couldn't control it. They tried to close the church. They have closed the churches down too. But you see, if you have faith, if you don't have faith now, I don't know what's going to happen to you in the tribulation. This is the time to start having some faith. So we had catastrophic fires. Okay, we just read about that. And so we had the first angel sound the trumpet. Great hails and fire appears in the skies. And to make it worse, the precipitation comes down on the earth in as blood. Fires rage for weeks in forested areas of the earth, and one-third of the trees are destroyed by fire. Have you seen a precursor to that? Take a look at Siberia. The huge areas there, bigger than some of the states, have been and are burning there right now. The forest in Brazil, the rainforest is burning. The forests in Argentina are burning. Why? Because they have a drought. It's a precursor. Are people repenting? Are people seeking God? No. So, in the palace in Jerusalem, the supreme leader and the pastor, they were sitting down with their staff, and they read the 8th chapter of the book of Revelation. And this book doesn't seem fictional anymore. Now, here's the sad thing. The Bible has been taken away from all the people on the earth. But the supreme leader, the prophet, they have a real Bible. Most likely, a King James, or it might be a Bible that translated in Hebrew. But they follow me very carefully, because they know this. Something is going on. It was predicted. We know that all these things that happened in the past, and they're now realizing things are not going our way. The Christians reading the same chapter are excited. The Antichrist system is finally going to get its just rewards in catastrophic events. There's a pause, and people begin to take a deep breath and relax. And then the second angel sounded a trumpet, and the people on earth see a massive burning object falling from outer space, crashing into the ocean. In a short time, one-third of the ocean turned to blood, and the ships that sail in this area are destroyed. The fishing industry in this area are decimated. There's no life under the water anymore. The supreme leader and the pastor scream at Lucifer and simply demand that he appears. Lucifer, you come here now. We want you to appear to us and take charge against this monster God that's now destroying the earth. The once great economy does not exist anymore. And people are scrambling for basic necessities such as food and shelter. We saw a forerunner to that early this year, when everybody scrambled to get toilet paper and paper towels. And there was a time where the shelves were empty in the stores. Remember that? And now the food came back. You can get all the paper towels you want and toilet paper you want. But that was a warning. Lucifer does not show up. And in a terse press conference, the two leaders tell the world that Lucifer is busy working on a super weapon to retaliate God of the creation. They ask people to be patient, resilient, and start rebuilding. Have you heard that? We have disaster after disaster. Last week, we had a tremendous tropical storm that turned into a hurricane. We have tremendous damage. And what do you hear from these authorities? We're going to rebuild. We are strong. We're going to rebuild. The military now is told we don't have time to hunt Christians anymore. Stop doing that. We got to do damage control. 8:9, and the third part of the creature we were in the sea had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. Of course, Lucifer is not going to show up, because he knows he's created. He knows he is not a god. He's a fallen angel. And he's realizing that his empire is falling apart. The microchip people on the earth have barely started functioning again when the third angel sounds a trumpet. And global television suddenly shows a huge object orbiting the earth, gradually slowing and descending. Friction from the earth's atmosphere causes it to disintegrate, and its particles pollute one-third of the world's rivers and lakes. The affected water becomes bitter, and people die from drinking this contaminated water. It is clear now to people that Lucifer is not in control of the situation. The supreme leader and the pastor are finally grasping that Lucifer and his fallen angels lost the great space war, and now he's losing it again. Lucifer had precision fought, he's falling with their spaceship to intercept the holy angels. But they can't stop them from orbiting the earth and slowly destroying the surface. In the book of Daniel, we read this, that God's messenger was sent from heaven to talk to Daniel. He got stuck over Greece in the atmosphere. He couldn't break through because of fallen angels had tremendous firepower and ships up there. He had to call for Michael to come in with a huge detachment, and they broke up the fallen angels. And then the angel could come to Daniel. This is going to happen now, but this time, God's holy angels are simply just bypassing the fallen angels, their spaceships. They're simply disintegrating them, destroying them. The military leaders are called into the palace and told that any person questioning Lucifer, the supreme leader, the pastor, is to be arrested and executed and instill fear in the masses. I did not live through this, but I read about it. I talked to people that were there in Germany in the last 6 months, 1945, the last four or five months. The order was given by Hitler. Anyone surrendering, shoot them on the spot. Any civilian on the streets questing the Führer, kill them on the spot. And you had the SS now listening and killing people left and right to try to maintain some kind of order and discipline. It's a mess, a total mess for them. The Luciferian leadership is vexed when the silent enemy continues to show the wilderness areas of the earth untouched by the catastrophic devastation. The supreme leader and the pastor angrily recognize that things are going to get worse in the world for the nation, struggles to survive against God's onslaught. Let's go to Revelation 8 and read verses 10 and 11. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning with a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers, upon the fountain of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the water became wormwood, and many men died of the water because they were bitter. They were helpless, not a leadership. They simply ruled by brute force. And the people on the earth simply said, you know, what's going on? When is this going to end? The people not taking the microchip, they realized they had made a grave error. They remember the Christians who were murdered and the remnant that escaped to the wilderness. Rumors circulated on the earth how the God of heaven protected them, and they have not encountered any other catastrophic events. Instead of praying to Lucifer, the people now begin to cry out to the living God. But there is no response. These people have taken a microchip, are damned. They can't repent. It's final. It's over for them. Some of the people with a religious background remember the book of Revelation, mentioned that a man can receive in the mark of the beast and worship in the Antichrist. Thousands of pastors, Bible teachers, evangelists, and missionaries who joined the microchip control system now realize they were deceived. Their former church members cursed them, spewing of hate and blame for their unredeemable predicament. If only they had been taught about the mark of the beast. But it's too late. Revelation 14, 9 through 11. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink out of the vine of wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of the torment ascends up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast in his image, whosoever receives the mark of his name. There are many Baptist people here, Presbyterians, sprinkled with a few Pentecostals, Lutherans, lots of Catholics, and they are simply cursing every day. Why didn't anyone preach the Bible to us? Why were we so stupid and ignore the Bible? They look at their mark, feed it to the forehead and say, we damned. There's no return. We are heading for judgment and the lake of fire. Listen, friend, if you are not saved today, some people say, don't scare people about hell. I want to have a scared person enter into heaven than a confident person entering hell. It's a reality. It's real. It is going to happen. As more and more people begin to curse Lucifer and his earthly leaders, a fourth angel sounded trumpet, and suddenly some counter-material is released outside the Earth's atmosphere to act like a huge blanket, effectively reducing the sun's rays 33%, dimming also the moon and the stars. The action by the fourth angel begins affecting the temperature on the Earth, and suddenly it is colder, except for the areas where the Christians live in the wilderness. The pastor and the supreme leader, they don't have any more press conferences. They are just like Joe Biden, hiding in a basement, trying to say as little as possible, because they know they have nothing to say. And on the television, global television, there's no more news reporting, just entertainment, reruns of old programs and movies to keep people occupied. We don't have any news because it's bad news. Everything is bad news. In verses 12 and 13 of chapter 8, we read this. The fourth angel sounded, the third part of the sun was smitten, the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars. There's the third part of was darkened. And in that day shone not for a third part of it, and in night likewise. And I beheld and heard not angels flying through the midst of heaven, saying with loud voice, Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet and the three angels, which are yet to sound. There's chaos in the world for salvation. News spreads about the globe that the Christians living in the wilderness have not been affected by the terrible worldwide events. It is rumored they have plenty of food and water, and their communities are thriving. People with a mark of the beast begin to flee from the ruined cities in an effort to reach the fabled Christian communities. And holy angels set up invisible barriers to keep from entering the protected areas. There's much weeping as the damned begin to fathom they have no future on earth and an eternity in the lake of fire. They try to push out in the wilderness, and suddenly there are invisible barriers they can't get through. Just like the rich man in hell lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off with Lazarus. And he said, can you come and dip, have Lazarus come, dip his finger and just cool my tongue. And Abraham said, between us and you, there's a gulf. No one can enter for one or the other. It's a terrible time. The weeping, the cursing. Now, the pastors, the Christian leadership, they are hiding. Those are taking a mark because they are being beaten. They are being abused by their members of the assembly saying, you're cursed. Yeah, I'm not going to say that word. Only the Christians, one-time Christians, is the mark of the beast, cannot be consoled. And their wailing can be heard for miles. It is horrible that they once had Jesus, but they traded the Son of God for Lucifer. And now they can't come back. Turn to Hebrews 12. I told you about a man in my first sermon today, sermonette, that simply left Christ and called his faith dung. Hebrews 12, verse number 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator, profane person, Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he had inherited the blessing, he was rejected. We found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. There be some people that are listening to me today that are not going to obey the word. You're laughing at me. And you're going to take the microchip. You will remember me speaking. Some of you remember reading from the Bible itself. And there's going to be a wailing. Now, you know, many of you have lost a loved one. And you know when somebody dies, the emptiness, the grief, particularly if there's an accident, or somebody's murdered, how you grieve. But as Christians, we have this hope. Yes, my wife died, my husband died, my children died, but they were saved. They're in heaven. I'm going to see them someday. But picture this. When you stand here on earth, you look in the mark on your hand, or you feel it here, and you realize the lake of fire is coming. I can't repent. The wailing, the crying. You're going to be beside yourself. Why did you take the mark of the beast? Because you thought it was a joke. Somebody told you it's not no problem. It's terrible. And then we have the next angel, the fifth angel. Revelation 9, 1 through 2. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven upon the earth. And to him was given a key out of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there rose a smoke out of the pit, the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Now the Bible does not give any specific what kind of creatures these are. But they are in the bottomless pit. And they have a ruler over them by the name of Abaddon, or Apollon, which means destroyer. Logic dictates that this is not Lucifer's angel. This is an angel from God that comes down and opened this pit. Now, the Apostle John, who I never knew what electricity was, tried to describe these beings. Listen to what he said. He stated they had a shape of a locust and prepared for combat like horses. On their heads they had crowns like gold with a face like a man. They had breastplates of iron, armor plates, and wings that made a sound like many horses, and chariots, rotor blades. A type of needle protruded from their tails, by which they could penetrate the skin of men and inject venom. And John liked the sting of a scorpion, which uses venom to kill or paralyze its prey. Very, very painful. Do you realize, dear friends, that the bottomless pit is filled of these creatures today? They have been waiting now for 6,000 years. They are locked up. For them, it has been 6 days. And they are there now. It's not a fantasy. It's a reality. Now, the Iranians are using a new method. They have drones. And they don't send one drone. They send swarms of drones. And they overpower the system, can't shoot them down fast enough. I picture these as some kind of drones, but they are living creature because they are told what they can do and not do. And so the people on the earth, suddenly now, we have these creatures coming. And notice now, they are not touching the Christians. Let's read here from verse number 4, actually number 3. And there came out of the smoke locust upon the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpion of the earth had power. It commanded them they should not hurt the grass or the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which had not the seal of God in their forehead. That indicates the Christians are still here when this is happening. It was commanded them they should not hurt the grass or the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which had not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them was given that they should not kill them, but they should be tormented 5 months. And the torment was as the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. This last week, there was a prisoner was set loose back in one of the eastern states. He was held in prison. He had been charged with rape, aggravated rape of a woman. He's running trial. His attorney said, why don't you let this guy out? We got the COVID-19. He might contract the COVID-19 in prison. Wouldn't that be terrible? And you had a stupid judge that said, yeah, that will be terrible, this rapist. So let him go. So they let him go. It didn't take more than a month or so. And this guy got his gun. He drove to the city where the woman was that he had raped and abused earlier. Got to her apartment complex. Walked up. Rang the doorbell. She opened the door. Got in. He killed her right there. Hurt her. Walked away. And then they were looking for him. And when they found him, he put the gun to his head and shot himself. He didn't die right away, but he died a few days later. He didn't want to face the music. He blew himself right into hell. But in this verse number 6, it says, in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and they shall flee from them. You shoot yourself and you don't die. You take poison and you don't die. And you're in agonizing pain. And they realize now the people have taken the mark. Oh, man. This is just the beginning. What's going to happen in the lake of fire? That's going to be horrible. It is. And then we read this. And the sheep of the locusts were like unto horses preparing to battle. On the heads were they were crowned like gold, and the face was the face of men. And they had hair as the hair of women, and the teeth was the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates as were breastplates of iron. And the sound of wings was the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And their tails like unto scorpions, they were stings in their tails. Their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name is Hebrew tongue, Abaddon, with the Greek tongue, his name is Apollon. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. So, suddenly, the pain disappeared from these men. The creatures disappear, and they go, wow, that was something. Now, there's a rebellion growing in the world for devotion. The Bible doesn't tell us who rebels, where the armies are coming from. But all we know is that God has, there are four angels at the river of Euphrates that start up in Turkey, goes all the way down to the Persian Gulf, and they are loosed. And suddenly, there is an army that the world has never seen before. And one third of mankind is killed. Let's read it. 9:14. We start in 9. Saying to the sixth angel which had a trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, for to slay the third part of men. These angels are there now. They are prepared for this hour. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000, which is 200 million. And I heard a number of them. This is not Armageddon. This is a world war. This is when simply there's such a rebellion in the world federation that they are mustering 200 million men marching on Jerusalem, trying to unseat the supreme leader and the pastor. And thus as the horses in the vision that have sat on them, having breastplates of fire, and of jacinth, and of brimstone, and the heads of the horse was the heads of a lion, and out of their mouth issued fire, smoke, and brimstone. How can the Apostle John try to show you what a tank is? With a gun, with a machine gun on top of it. How can he describe that? He do the best he can. He's never seen a battle tank. But these were the third part of the men killed by the fire, by the smoke, and by the brimstone, which issues out of the mouth. For the powers in thy mouth and in their tails, for the tails were like unto serpents, and the heads, and with them that do hurt. We're going to have a tremendous catastrophic event happening. We have one third of the population dies at this time. But now we're coming down to this. No repentance. Up to this point during the Great Tribulation, that did a massive earthquake in Jerusalem. Unstoppable forest fires. Oceans of rivers of blood. Partial darkness of the planet. Stinging scorpions. And the death of one third of the World Federation population. Despite the enormous destruction and loss, the survivors with the embedded microchip refuse to repent. The choice is, we're going to go back to the bars, to the whorehouses, to the casinos. We're going to go back and sin like we always have done. I'm going to read it to you here. Revelation 9, verse 20. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands. They should not worship devils, and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear, to walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. This is where we are today. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor the fornication, nor the thefts. As this nation is reeling under judgment right now. Folks, in January this year, our economy was booming. Everyone was pretty much working. The election of Trump was going to be a shoo-in. Who could vote for the Democrats when we had such a booming economy? Amen. And guess what? By March, April, it was gone. Unemployment, worse than during the Depression. Everything closed down. We were down, we are in a depression right now. And are people repenting? Theologians are debating and saying we got to take Paul's epistles out of the Bible. How many Joel Osteen's followers do you think you're going to find having taken a mark of the beast and they're going around and cursing Joel Osteen and all the other prosperity teachers and others? There's no repentance. We saw last week coming in from Florida, going up the coast, destruction, terrible destruction, houses, electricity out, people killed, destruction. Did you hear any pastor stand up and say, people, we are being judged right now by God. We need to repent. The only one I heard is Franklin Graham. That's as far as I know. We are no better than the people that we talked about here living in the future. We have the same problem. Now, if you as a Christian do not take this serious, and you simply said, you know, I need to talk to people around me. I need to start warning people. I need to take it serious. Who's going to tell them? We continue week after week. You go to work. The week is done. Go to work and on the week is done. We do this and that. Time is moving through our hands. We got the anarchist trying to dismantle us. We got the theologians trying to destroy the church. We got the Russians, the Chinese looking and finding how they can get a hold of us. It's a mess. And yet, people have not understood. We got to repent. Now, I have not been out at the whorehouses, and I've not been drinking. But we need to say, Father God, I want to identify with a nation. I want to begin to pray for repentance. Father God, I'm sorry for our nation. Do you realize, folks, that the abortions never stopped? Every day, every 24-hour period, some 1,200 babies are killed every day in America. COVID-19 makes no difference. The mills, the abortion mills are running. When is someone going to wake up? What can you do? We have people living in all kind of states, from Florida, North Carolina, Massachusetts. We got them in Michigan. We got people living everywhere in this country. I think we're into every state. If you watching me today, simply say this. I'm going to do something. I'm going to go and make an appointment with the Baptist pastor down the road, with the Presbyterian pastor down the road, with the Episcopalian. I'm going to go and talk to a Catholic priest. I'm going to take my Bible with me. And I'm going to say, Pastor, I am really concerned about you and your flock. Are you aware of what the Bible talks about? Have you seen the judgments around us? Do you see the destruction around us, Pastor? Amen. And they say, would you call for repentance? You might knock on 100 pastors' doors. You might get one. But that's one is better than nothing. And when you get up to heaven at the judgment seat of Christ, Jesus is going to ask you, you heard about the judgment. You saw the destruction in America. You recognized it. How many pastors did you talk to and warn? How many people did you warn? And you could say, well, you know, at that day, there's no excuse. It's going to cost you rewards. And it's going to simply, Jesus is going to say to you, this is what I had for your rewards. But because of your disobedience and your negligence, I can't give it to you. You're saved. But the tremendous position I had for you is not yours anymore. You forfeited it. The problem is, we don't take the Bible for real. I do. I hope you do. Now, if you listen to me today, you are not saved. And you simply said, you know, I'm not even a Christian. Today, you can be saved. All you need to do is to recognize you're a sinner. You say, God, I am a sinner. I need salvation. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe He died on the cross and rose on the third day. I believe He paid for my sins. Jesus, come on in, Jesus. Come on in and save me right now. And He will. When we finish here, the screen will change on your television or your computer screen. and you would see three crosses coming up. And you would hear a very soothing voice of Pastor Charles Terrell when he would say, "My friend." And then he would take you through salvation and pray with you. Would you do that today to make sure that you do not have to go to the lake of fire? When you do that afterwards, contact us. We want to rejoice with you. We want to pray with you. And we want to send you some gifts. To those of you that are Christians, you're in different stages. Some of you are very excited about the Lord. Some of you are mediocre. And some of you are just shuffling around. Would you today simply stop and say, "My God, I can see what's happening in America right now. And now, during the tribulation, it's going to be 1,000 times worse. I need to start praying for forgiveness. I need to start identifying for the nation. I need to start contacting pastors, deacons, elders, leaders in the community. I need to warn people." Would you do that? Would you take some kind of action and not just sit there and do nothing? May God bless you as I hope that you will spring into action. Here's Brother Thomas.
Father God, thank you for the Word of God that is, as the Word describes it, quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And Lord, I do recognize many avenues of trying to destroy the Word of God in this world today. And I also see many that have come against it. So we thank you, Father. We know the Word is eternal. It's going to last forever. And what a great blessing and a comfort it is to know that. And I have friends that are fishing today instead of being in the Word. It's quite amazing to watch the world events as they are coming about right now. And those that call themselves Christians, but they never even go to church. It's amazing. We thank you, Father, for keeping those that have their hearts fixed on you faithful to the Word of God, and give them strength, Lord, against all deception. We know deception is strong and it is real. It is demonically driven. But we that have the light will rise above. We will endure to the end. And we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that we can look at the events in our lives and we can know that God is real, the Bible is real, and the Word of God is true. And even as it says in the Word, "Let God be true and every man a liar." Let us take that with us through to the end, that the Word of God is true. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now, you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are. You've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere, and any time. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. You have been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the fifth part in the series, Living During the Tribulation, and was entitled, Hell from Above. The Christians are excited as they have been sealed against the coming trumpet judgments. The World Federation at this time is in great shape. The economy is booming, destroyed cities have been rebuilt, and people have enough money to live lavishly and embrace debauchery. When the opening salvo strikes, the earthquake catches everyone by surprise. This is followed by catastrophic fires, oceans of blood, contaminated rivers and lakes, partial darkness, a devastating war that kills one-third of humanity, and the release of creatures from the bottomless pit that attack and hurt those with the embedded microchip. The excruciating pain is so great that many attempt suicide, but to their horror, every effort fails, and they have to live with the constant torment for 5 months. Meanwhile, the Christians live unmolested in the wilderness areas, watching the destruction being forced upon the World Federation, and eagerly awaiting the second coming of Jesus. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1768. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.